Hey, New Life, thanks for joining us again for New Life Church Online. I just want to give everybody a greeting and a welcome from wherever you're watching. Maybe you're on vacation, you're sitting on the beach, maybe you are on the couch, maybe you're at home being careful. Wherever you are, we just want to welcome you to a great Sunday service again today. Thanks for worshiping with us. And I want to invite you, you can also continue to worship with us through your giving. There's many ways to give at New Life Church. And I just want to say thank you for your generosity. It's because of your generosity we can do things like this Friday. Convoy of Hope is with partnership with Prairie Farms is sending us a semi-truck load of dairy goods that we are going to be distributing to our community. Thousands and thousands of pounds of fresh dairy product is going to be distributed here in our Kokomo. And so we just thank you for being a part of making a difference in our city. And I tell you what, if you're new with us or you're watching us, I would love to know who you are and where you're watching from. You can simply text the word connect to 765-347-9127. And our team will send you a digital form that you can fill out just to tell us that you're watching with us today. That would be awesome. We would love to give you some great next steps that you can take here at New Life Church. So text that number throughout our service today. We would love to hear from you and see who's with us today. All right, well, we are in our new series we started last week called Change Your World. Here's what I believe. If you change your world, we can change the world, because we all have a different sphere of influence in the parts of our city that we live in, parts of our city that we work in, different friendships, different networks of people that we are connected with. And if you can be an influence in your world, we can change the world. And last week we talked about having a church influenza. And the word influenza, its literal meaning is influence. So what we need, like an influenza that is contagious and spreads, and like in 1918, the Spanish influenza, it spread, it had global impact. It kind of like the virus we're seeing right now. A church influenza is a church influence that is contagious, that the church of Jesus right now would have something so contagious upon them that it would have influence on the world around them. We said that when the church uses its influence, there is an outbreak of lives changed. There will be an outbreak of lives changed. And the second thing we said last week was you don't have to have it all together to be an influence for Christ. We talked about the woman at the well and how her life wasn't all together, but she ran back to her city after she had an encounter with Jesus, and she said, "Come and see a man." And that's what we're saying, church, that we've got to be an influence in our world today, that we are just pointing people to Jesus. And you don't have to have it all together to do that. And the last thing we talked about last week was that influence is a byproduct of intimacy with God. As you develop your nearness to God, people will see it on your life and they will want it. And so today we're going to be talking about, in our series, Change Your World, I want to talk specifically about your influence. That God has given each and every one of you influence into your world. Just before we started our Change Your World series, we had just finished a series called The Third Person, which was a series on the Holy Spirit. And really our anchor scripture was Acts 1:8, which says that when the Holy Spirit would come upon you and fill you with power, that he would make you his witnesses. So we know that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit with us, that God has empowered you to be a witness. And so if our series on the Holy Spirit was to empower you, then our series to change your world is to help mobilize you. And God has given you great influence to change your world. And when somebody, think of it this way, when somebody is under the influence of alcohol or drugs, that person is said to be controlled by a foreign substance. The power of the substance then alters and impairs the decisions that these people make under this foreign substance's influence. And while there is another foreign substance that alters your decision making, and it is the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of God lives in you, it will alter the decisions that you make when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And God has given you the power to influence your world. Now, come on, help me out. He has given you the power to influence your world. One dictionary defines influence as a spiritual or moral force which knowingly or unknowingly affects the actions and behaviors of others. And you have influence. Listen, God has given you influence in your world. And like we said last week, if you leverage that influence, we can see lives changed. Now, I think of this old African proverb. It says, if you think you're too small to make a difference, well, then you haven't spent the night with a mosquito. It doesn't matter how great or vast or how large you think your influence is. It's not about how big or small, how large of a following you have, how significant you think your job is or isn't, or how many, you may be introverted. It doesn't matter how big or small you think it is. God has given you influence into your world. The word influence, although rarely used in the Bible, but the concept of influence is certainly prevalent. One of the Hebrew words that does appear in the Old Testament is that is translated influence is from the Hebrew word root yod. Yod, and the word yod means hand. And actually, if you go all the way back to what is called Paleo-Hebrew, the Hebrew words were actually pictures. And in the picture of this word, yod, is the picture of a hand. And this picture of a hand is translated in the Old Testament as influence. And a hand, if you think about it, a hand, what does it do? A hand guides, right? A hand fashions, a hand molds, a hand shapes, a hand exercises control. A hand is used in turning the situation around. Or other meanings of this word yod, which is translated hand. Other translations, it also means influence. It means power. It means agency or a means. So this word influence from this Hebrew word yod simply means hand. A hand that can turn a situation around, a hand guides, a hand that controls. And so I want you to look with me. We're going to look in Exodus chapter 4, where the Lord has just appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And here, this is when God told Moses, hey, I'm sending you to go and deliver my people from the bondage of Egypt, because Israel, as you may know, was in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, and God is sending Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to let his people go, and here God is asking Moses to go and meet with the elders of Israel and tell them that God spoke to him and that they will be delivered from Egypt. And so here's where we pick up the story in Exodus 4. And Moses answers the Lord and he says, but what if they don't believe me or listen to me? And what if they say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, he said these words, and I want you to watch this. He says, what is in your hand? So Moses is saying, what if they don't listen to me? And he feels very inadequate for the job that God is asking him to do. But God says, Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses says, well, it's a staff, he replied. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand, and he took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe. This is so that they may believe. And here's the question I want to ask you today. What is in your hand? What has God placed in your hand that he wants you to use for influence? That they may believe. that people around you will hear the message of Jesus and believe. What is in your hand? Maybe what's in your hand is your occupation. That in your job, you're a person that has influence because of the, and you can use that influence to affect the people around you. Maybe what God has put in your hand is that you're a coach or you're a teacher. Maybe what God has put in your hand is that you parent young children, or you're the parent of teenagers. Or maybe what God has put in your hand is that you're a loving grandma and grandpa. Maybe what God has put in your hand is that you live in a neighborhood and you have connections with your neighbors. Maybe what God has put in your hand is your career, your occupation, your job. Maybe what God has put in your hand is your ability that you're deeply networked with people in the community. But the question is, what is in your hand? And what is in your hand you can use to have influence in the world around you. This so that they may believe. God wants you to take what's in your hand and use it for influence so that they may believe. So I want to give you three simple things that everyone has when it comes to your influence. Everyone has these three things. The first thing is you have your example. You have your example. Every one of us leads a life that gives people perception of us, but also the message that we carry, the influence that they have. And if you leverage and you begin to establish an example before people, it will be monumental in your influence. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I, this is Paul writing, he says, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, that they may be saved. So for what is the purpose of whether you eat or drink? What is the purpose of this example? Again, it is about so that they may be saved. So that people that are far from God see your life and they may be saved. Follow my example, Paul says, as I follow the example of Christ. And this is for us today, that we would be a people that will follow first the example of Christ, and then our example is a model for those around us so they may be saved. And your influence can be rooted in the example that you give people in everyday life. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, wherever you work, wherever you live, wherever you go to school, do it for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Use your example as a way to have influence on people around you, because your example speaks volumes. Your example, it matters at home to your children. Because here's what I know about when parents, grandparents, those that have kids, teens in your homes, that kids will never do what you say. They will always do what you do. So use your example to influence people around you. If you have leadership in your workplace, you will develop the culture around you from the culture that is within you. So use your example to set forth a culture in your workplace. If you work in a department, your example can affect those around you. So do it for the glory of God, that they may be saved. Use your example that people can follow your example as you follow the example of Christ. So your example really matters. Your example can share the gospel message before you ever do. There's a popular saying, it says, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. In other words, people can see your example and hear the message of Jesus. I would ask this question, what is more likely? People are going to pick up a Bible and read it, or people are going to look at your life and want it? What is more likely? People are going to pick up the Bible, find their own way, or that people can see your life and want what you have? You have got major influence on those around you. Make sure that what people see out of your life from your example points them to Jesus and inspires them to have the Jesus that you have. The next thing that everybody has when it comes to influence is everybody has that you have your story. You have your story. Jesus, we're going to look here in John chapter 9, Jesus had just healed a blind man that was born blind from birth. Now, if you were born blind from birth back then, they believed that either you had sinned or your parents just had sinned, and that this was ultimately a curse from birth, that you were born blind, because if you're born blind, you just don't recover from that. But in this story, Jesus, he puts mud on a man's eyes. He tells him to go wash, and when he does, his sight is restored. This is unheard of. But what really got people stirred up was that Jesus did this on the Sabbath, a day when no work was supposed to be done. And so the religious people of the day were investigating this miracle because they were upset that Jesus had done this in their unorthodox way, and that they thought they had him trapped by all their religiosity and all their rules. And so they investigate this miracle of this man being healed. And upon doing so, they brought him in a second time, because they not only once did they come and investigate, but then they even talked to his parents. His parents bowed out because they were afraid of being excommunicated for what had just taken place out of fear of these religious leaders. So a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind, and they said, "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man," in other words, what they're saying is, "We know Jesus is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know." I love this, watch. "But one thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see." This man had a story. This man didn't have all the answers about Jesus. But one thing he knew his story. He knew that "I was once blind, but now I see." And watch what happens next. They asked him, "Now, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered. Once again, this is the second time they were questioning him. He said, I already told you, and you didn't listen. And then he asked this awesome question. "Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Do you want to become his disciples too? So you can use your story of how God transformed your life, and you can use that story to help influence others, and that other people, although you may not have all the answers to their Jesus questions, all you can say is, "I once was blind, but now I see. I once was bound, but now I'm free. I once was chained up by addiction and sin, but the chains have been broken. I once was in the dark, but now I'm in the light. I once was sinking in miry sand, but now my feet are set upon the rock of Jesus." I don't have all your Jesus answers, but all I know is my story. And I once was blind, but now I see. And then this, and do you want to be his disciples too? Do you want to be his disciples too? You know, years ago, I once had a job where part of my work was to investigate our employees that were committing fraud or even committing theft. And so my job was to monitor systems and analyze paper trails to find curious things or things that didn't look right, and my job was to go investigate. And so then my team would gather video evidence, paper trails, or gather witness statements, and then we would ultimately, if we felt like we had a good case, we would ultimately interview the person in question. And although sometimes all of our evidence towards a fraud or a theft pointed to the fact that this person was likely guilty, and we would handle that in whatever way. but we always said that there was no evidence like a confession. That's why we always would interview the person in question, because there's no evidence like a confession. And so once we got the confession, all of the other evidence was just really bonus, because And here's what I would say about your story, is that the strongest evidence in any case is a personal testimony. Just like this man, born blind, he didn't have all the answers of Jesus. He didn't know theology. He didn't know any of the Christian stuff. He probably couldn't explain baptism. He probably couldn't explain, you know, the scripture and all these things. He couldn't answer your Jesus questions. But the strongest thing he had was his personal testimony. And that I'm sure sent him on a journey of discipleship and knowing more and becoming closer to Jesus. But your story is a powerful tool in your influence to change your world. And I hope that you would use it and leverage that. Thirdly, what everybody has, when it comes to your influence is to use your consistency. Your consistency. The power of influence is in its subtlety, because many times your influence is making an impact without your knowledge of it ever happening. Many times. Many times when I encounter people even in the ministry that I come to find out years later, maybe they're moving away or maybe there's some type of transition happening and they say, you know, Pastor, you and your family, that you have made such a great impact on my life. And I remember there's been times in the student ministry when a student's about to go off to college, that a student would say, you have no idea the impact you've made on my life. And I remember at the time scratching my head thinking, I thought I was making no impact on that person. I just remember that student sitting on the back row, you know, arms crossed for the last 3 years. But here they are in tears talking about the impact we had on their life. That's because the influence, many times, its power is in its subtlety. You have no idea the impact you're making on others around you. And so I would say, you have to just continue to show up in people's life. You have to continue to be on purpose, operating on mission in front of people by your example, using your story, but your consistency. Your consistency in someone's life over the course of time will make a huge, huge impact on others. Because here's what I know about influence. Influence isn't always obvious. Influence isn't always instant. But just because you didn't see a harvest, it doesn't mean that your seed didn't take root. So I want to implore you, even though you may not feel like your influence is making a difference, you've got to keep showing up. You've got to be consistent in people's life. You've got to let your example be consistent. And you've got to be consistent because it is making a difference, even if it's subtle. So be consistent. Watch Colossians 4:5. It says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Here's the last thing I want to tell you today is that you cannot be like the hypocrites and talk about your principles and live by preferences. Because as much as consistency makes a difference, inconsistency will dilute and destroy godly influence. So consistency. Build consistency into your life. Use every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity with people that are far from God. That you would leverage your whole life, your job, the ways that you serve and volunteer, even in the community, that you would leverage all of these for the glory of God, that you, our church, would be mobilized, not just in a church program that we organize, like our convoy event this Friday, where we're going to serve hundreds and hundreds of people, but moreover, about you and me individually. Every week when we leave from this place of church, that church actually begins. And we would be an empowered church, but also mobilized to all of the areas all around our Kokomo to make a difference because you have influence. And if you use your influence in your world and they use influence in their world and I use influence in my world, we can change the world. So I want to encourage you today in your example, to use your story and to be consistent and keep showing up in people's lives and use your influence to change your world. And next Sunday, I want to talk specifically about your world. So come on, we need a church influenza that the church of Jesus would have something on their lives so contagious that it begins to spread all throughout our Kokomo, and that the church would use their influence. You have influence. Use it in your world. Build that relationship. Build that network. Reach that neighbor. Be the influence in your workplace. Even if it's subtle, I know you're planting seeds in our community that will come to fruition, that will look like lives changed, hope found, relationships restored. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray for your church that this very week that we would continue to be mobilized into the parts of our community, parts of our world, that God, you would give us great influence, that your church would be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into divine conversations, but moreover, that God, we would preach the gospel always, and even when necessary, we will use words, we will use our story, and God, we will inspire people around us by our consistency in their life. And people will try to test us to see if we will stumble and see if we will fall. But God, we will continue to show up for them. We will continue to love them like you loved us. And that other people would follow our example only as we follow the example of Christ. And God, I pray for our city today that as the church is mobilized throughout it, that we will see lives changed, hope found, and relationships restored, that because of the influence of your church, lives will be transformed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hey, New Life, thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any prayer requests or would like to know more about who we are, you can text CONNECT to 765-347-9127. And if you'd like to continue your worship through giving, you can give online at newlifeforkokomo.org/give. You can send it through the mail, or you can text the word New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Thank you so much. We are praying for you, and we hope you have a fantastic week.